broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for... Oh my gosh, it's just crazy. It's already April 17th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law, the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. And just so you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. By the way, the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? Welcome to the broadcast. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Tell your neighbors. Live and on-demand radio free. A quick recap of Friday's Freedom Loving broadcast. We had our guest on, Mr. Chris Carlson. We talked about all things liberty, discussion of all things liberty. We talked about honest money. I'm calling it the root of the restoration solution. Chris brought up a parable, or an allegory, if you will, called The Money Myth Exploded. Great breakdown of exactly how money works, what it is, etc., etc., etc. We talked about during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln said, "I have two great enemies, the Southern army in front of me and the financial institutions behind me," or in the rear. Then he said, "The one in the rear is the greatest enemy." Talking about money. Talking about the money changers, really. The bankers, etc. And I disagree with the point of Lincoln that he's got an enemy of the South in front of him. I don't really agree with a lot of the North's points. You know what? I think the South was like three quarters right. The North was about a quarter right in the debate. Sadly, it's all mixed up. You know, both sides had some things right and many things wrong. The wickedness of the nation, by the way, I believe the cause of the real problems that they had in the Civil War. The blessing, at least America, is still the United States of America. That is, in my personal belief, a good thing. Biden said it's time to end America's longest war. USA Today, I wish we would really do such a thing, but I don't see it. I just don't. We've had president after president after president promise to back away and get the troops out of places. They never do. We're in over 130-plus nations militarily, and I don't see it backing off anytime soon at all. They love the military-industrial complex. They love the spending. They love the murder. They love to be in the middle of everything. It's a sad tale to tell, but true. All right, we talked about intel agencies called China an unparalleled threat to the United States during a hearing before the Senate Intelligence Committee. There appeared to be no dispute, ladies and gentlemen, that China represented the most serious risk to the United States, where officials said Beijing has long sought economic advantage through sustained cyber warfare. Isn't that interesting? That was our One of Liberty Roundtable Live. War and illegal money. Fake currency go hand in hand, because without fake currency, you can't fund immoral, unconstitutional wars, okay? Just be clear on that reality check as well. The second hour, we had on Dr. Scott Bradley, his lifelong goal to preserve the nation, his collegiate series named the same, To Preserve the Nation, his website, freedomsrisingsun.com, and we talked with him about Pfizer CEO. Third dose of COVID-19 vaccine, likely needed within 12 months, he says. Wow, so they promised you had to have two. Now they're already telling you have to have a third. And then he goes on. Albert Bourla is his name. He said it's also possible that people will need to get vaccinated every year to protect themselves against the coronavirus. So there you have it. Vaccine happy are we, I guess. By the way, do you know the difference between the mRNA vaccines from the Pfizer, let me start over. The mRNA vaccines are from Pfizer are from Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna. And then do you know the difference between that and the adenomavirus? Those are from J&J and AstraZeneca. Do you know the difference between those two? It's the way that the vaccine deals with the cells and how it gets into the cells. And one is made from virus patterns, messing with your RNA. The other one is made from a completely different virus unrelated to the corona. Both of them are experimental, big time, folks. Are eugenics happening today, or is eugenics happening today? The answer is a clear yes. Sadly, it's alive and well. Meet the eugenics generation. Scott Bradley warns, you know what, folks? These vaccines have been killing children for a long time, sudden infant death syndrome. But now there's a new term for adults who are dying. Vaccines, we believe, that's Sam and Scott, mind you, to be causing a lot of this. But you better gear up for a spike in sudden adult death syndrome. Yeah. What do they call that? SADS? Yeah, boy, howdy, huh? I just say this. We need to leave it to people's agency to choose if they want the vaccines or not. And we need to make sure that we've got real transparency on the subject, on the research of vaccines, on when vaccines go wrong, on how to handle them, that we really need to focus on that. What I don't like is they're trying to cover up the negative effects of vaccines while literally running around telling you how incredible and awesome and safe and effective and everything else they are. And that's my problem, is we really need transparency surrounding this discussion. All right, I made that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast, BT-dub. But yesterday I made some very interesting statements that I think people might be kind of stepping back from and going, whoa, Sam, wait a minute, hold on. I made a statement that, you know, the United States has been involved in the eugenics movement for a long time. And the eugenics movement has been around for a real long time. And the United States and many other big transnational corporations were involved with Hitler back in the day. And they really do want to create a master race, folks. Look, this is evil as all get out. I don't believe in a master race if we're going to separate genes from individuals or whatever else. I don't agree with that. I believe that we're all God's children. We're all the human race, by the way, regardless of the different ethnicities that people have as their inheritance, if you will. Anyway, I bring this up, though, because they do really want a master race, folks, these eugenicists. And I mentioned, and I kind of said, the research is really seriously documented, that what they want to do is they want to kind of dumb down most of the population, and then they want to create an elite kind of population. And so the dumbed down population would be lower IQ, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then the elite group would be completely separate, and they would have a dream of living forever. And I mentioned that really it's kind of the Tower of Babel in your body, if you will. Because the Tower of Babel, understand, their goal was to kind of be above God, or to take down God, or to seat themselves above God. It's kind of like the Bible explains that Satan's agenda was. Well, that seems to be the Tower of Babel plan, and the eugenics movement plan seems to be cut from the same cloth, if you will. So I mentioned that their goal is to kind of, you know, divide society a little bit, the dumbed down humans, the great unwashed, and then the elite humans. And I know people are kind of looking at me going, cross-eyed going, Sam, you're going a little far here. Are you a Jew hater? Are you a bigot? What's the deal with you, Sam? First off, I'm not a Jew hater. I do believe there are unique Jews placed in very influential positions of power in the media, and they control a lot of the money and all that kind of stuff at the high levels. But I don't believe that the Jewish people are evil people or bad people. You know what? I think they're good people like everybody else. They have the right to their religion. Many of them, as your neighbors, are wonderful people. So understand that when something gets corrupt at the top, maybe, a lot of organizations are corrupt at the top, don't you know? That doesn't mean that the rank and file or the people day-to-day are bad people. So let's be very clear. I'm not attacking the Jews. I'm not attacking the Catholics. I'm not attacking the Mormons. I'm not attacking any individual group and singling them out, because I don't believe that broad brush is helpful at all, okay? Now, I digress, except to say that I told you that their goal is to dumb down the majority of the population, but make elite a certain portion of the population. And I said there's ample evidence of this reality. I know people were hesitating quite a bit. However, here's what's fascinating. The same day I make this claim, another story pops up that literally furthers this evidence, historical evidence that I'm referring to. All right? I'll give you the headline. After the pause, we'll talk about it in detail. Headline says, scientists have successfully created embryos that are made of both human and monkey cells. This is at NPR, National Public Radio story. So if you question the source, NPR, pretty liberal organization, they're the ones telling you the story. Okay, I'm just reporting on it. You got it? Go look up, if you don't believe me, NPR. Scientists have successfully created embryos that are made of both human and monkey cells. They say it's in a search for transplant organs. National Public Radio. So, whether it's, you know, under the guise of transplant organs, whether it really is transplant organs, do you want a vaccine-modifying RNA into your body that you can never go back from? Do you want to get a new organ, say a heart, a kidney, a liver, that's kind of half monkey, half human there now? You want one of them? And you can say, well, Sam, look, the eugenicists are good people. They would never. Oh, you think? Let's talk about it. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left and I was so mad I got out and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money and then I dropped it in the water and I was late for history and so at lunchtime I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which of course our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout and then he read my history paper while I was in the pool, and of course I forgot the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home, and it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning, and I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew, but my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team, and you know, I'm just not gonna go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. So I'm telling you right now, their goal in the eugenics movement, they've taken it underground since the Hitler days, but they're carrying on because they really believe in this. They want to upend God. They want to play God with their science view. It's the Tower of Babel related to the human body in modern times, ladies and gentlemen. They want to literally try to upend or challenge God's supremacy. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what they really want to do. And the proof in the pudding is they have always an ambivalent kind of a reason to do something, but yet some might have that real view, but many don't. And even if it's, you know, good people with good agenda at first, how do you know the agenda won't run off the rails over time with later generations? All you got to do is get one evil genius scientists in the mix, and pretty soon horses let out of the barn? Is that the best way to say it? All right. So scientists have now successfully created embryos that are made of both human and monkey cells in their quest, in their search for transplant organs, they say. Sounds like a good thing. Hey, if you need a kidney or a liver or something like that, it sounds like a really good thing. You know, now you have to get like a sheep heart valve or something like that. You know, you'd be able to get a half human, half monkey heart valve. Better than a sheep one, right? Well, you know, I'm just not comfortable with the scientists on this thing. They say for the first time, U.S. and the communist Chinese scientists have created embryos that are part human, part monkey in an effort to find new ways to produce organs for transplants. Yeah. I don't know how to respond to this exactly, folks, because, you know, now they say, but some ethicists worry about how such research could possibly go wrong, you think? Wow. The team of scientists, by the way, injected 25 cells known as induced pluripotent, I think that's how you say it, stem cells from humans into marquee, is that how you say it? Monkey embryos? Yeah. NPR noted, after just one day, researchers report being able to detect human cells growing in 132 of the embryos. So now you got monkey humanoid, whatever, eggs happening. They said that they could study them for up to 19 days. I don't know why only 19 days, but there you go. I don't see this type of being I don't see this type of research being ethically problematic, Insoo Hyun said, a bioethicist, I guess with Harvard University added. It's aimed at lofty humanitarian goals. See, I want to stop there just for a second. I agree it might be by some people lame that lofty humanitarian goals. I don't think oftentimes people say, hey, I want to create a Frankenstein baby, half monkey, half human. You know, I don't think the average Joe thinks that. I believe there are geneticists and scientists and eugenics people who do want that. But I think the average scientist doesn't want that. They're just going, hey, what could really be done? But the research is raising a whole host of questions as to whether this should really be done. My first question one eugenicist asks is, why would we do this? Kirsten Matthews, she's a fellow. Now, I don't know how she's a fellow, but there you go. She's a fellow for science and technology at Rice University's Baker Institute. And she said, I think the public is going to be concerned, and I am as well. See, I think that she literally probably is concerned, and she doesn't think it's a good idea. And, you know, I get it. She says, I think we're just kind of pushing forward with science without having a proper conversation about what we should and what we should not do. I think she's right as rain on this. I don't think we should launch forward with this without discussing it seriously. Should it be regulated as human because it has a significant proportion of human cells in it? Or should it be regulated just as an animal? Or something else? At what point are you taking something and using it for organs when it's actually starting to think and has logic? Nobody really wants monkeys walking around with human eggs and human sperm inside them, she says. Hank Riley, a Stanford University bioethicist, I guess is how you say it, co-wrote an article in the same issue of this journal we're talking about that critiques the line of research, explained how this is. Because if a monkey with human sperm meets a monkey with human eggs, nobody wants a human embryo inside of a monkey's uterus. I don't think we're on the edge of beyond the planet of the apes, he added. I think rogue scientists are few and far between. But they're not zero. So I do think it's an appropriate time for us to start thinking about these things. Should we ever let these experiments go beyond a petri dish? Well, I think the answer is clearly a resounding no. think that's obvious in my mind, because I don't believe we should play God and try to create a, what would you call it, a humonkey? A monkey man? That would be half monkey, half human. Humonkey? I don't know. Anyway, I don't think that we should be playing God and doing this stuff at all. Okay? I get that they're saying, well, let's do it for this, you know, righteous, good, humanitarian purpose of organs and everything. But I think you're playing with fire, is what I think. And I think if you're not very careful, you create this Frankensteinish life form, trying to play God and authoring life. See, that's where I'm incensed by this research. I'm incensed by the very notion that we're going to create a dumbed-down being and a elite-type being. This is the eugenics movement's agenda. You don't believe me? Go study how Planned Parenthood was started. It was started based on this eugenics idea to create a master race and jettison all black people. I mean, it is evil and satanic as all get out, folks. Okay, it is shocking. But I don't want Monkey Man around, or Hugh Monkey, or whatever we call this thing. Not because if they did have life, that they would be evil beings, necessarily. But because I'm not sure we're supposed to blur the line between humans and animals, and, you know, when does logic and thinking and accountability before God come into play as God's children versus when have we created a, I don't know, this ethnically become a problem, but it ethically becomes a problem as well, right? Ethnically and ethically become a problem, to say the least. Scientists have successfully created embryos. For the first time, U.S. and Chinese scientists have created embryos that are part human, part monkey. I'm just not sure how to respond to this exactly, folks. Right? I don't know how to respond to this, because I'm not comfortable with it at all. Because even if your intentions are good, are you confident that the Chinese intentions will stay good? Are you confident that later scientists in America will mean well? So I find this to be very serious. And this is National Public Radio. Okay, I'm very concerned about this. But NPR is the one that had released this story. And the reason that I'm bringing it up right now is because it's literally, ladies and gentlemen, right when I was telling you this without a modern story at hand, but just making a historical point with Dr. Scott Bradley yesterday, instantly this story comes across my desk the literal same day. And if those are, you know how they used to do videos about this, things that make you go, what the heck? Okay, same day I talk about this, that floats across my desk from National Public Radio, half human, half monkey eggs. How long will it be till it's in a petri dish? How long will it be until you have human what? Sperm meeting with a monkey egg and in a monkey uterus, or maybe in a human uterus? So maybe monkey sperm and a human egg, and I mean, I don't know which way it all goes or how they would conduct the experiment, whether they would want it to be carried in a monkey or carried in a human, and I don't know which sperm it would be from the other side, and, you know, I don't know all the details of the research and how far along they've got, but here's what I also wonder. This is a fair question. If they're now telling us about this research, have they taken this research 10 times further in secret than they're letting us know? And they're slowly but surely acclimating us to this knowledge? What happens if all of a sudden later we find out, yeah, they took it a little bit further than we thought they did? Yeah, it was an ethical conundrum, but that's why they kept it so secret. And now you've got monkey babies, monkey men, Hugh monkeys, or whatever you call them. And now they're 18 years old, or 25 years old, or 10 years old, or whatever. What do we do then, ladies and gentlemen? And how does this back into the eugenics reality historically that I was pointing to about they're trying to create a monkey race and an elite race, huh? Big questions for little minds, I tell you.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Another night of protests in Minnesota over a deadly police shooting. About 100 people arrested Friday night in the sixth night of protests over the death of Dante Wright, the 20-year-old shot to death by a Brooklyn Center police officer. That officer charged with second-degree manslaughter. Chyna Whitaker, the mother of Wright's 2-year-old son, addressing the media yesterday.
I'm just really hurt for my son because, like, he doesn't have his father now. And it's, like, it's kind of stressful on me because, like, I really don't want to do this by myself.
Whitaker also expressing gratitude for the support she has received since Sunday's shooting. The number of COVID deaths worldwide topping a grim milestone. Over 3 million deaths reached this morning based on numbers by Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. recording the most deaths, over 566,000. According to JHU, 9 countries have yet to record a COVID death. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. But you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You could save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Enough is enough. That seems to be the message from President Biden after a deadly mass workplace shooting in Indianapolis. 8 people killed in Thursday's shooting at a FedEx facility. Biden sharing his thoughts at the White House Friday.
Every single day, there's a mass shooting in the United States if you count all those who were killed out in the streets of our cities and our rural areas. It's a national embarrassment and must come to an end.
19-year-old Brandon Hole ID'd as the gunman, the former FedEx employee killed by what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Investigators at Hole's home Friday seizing evidence, no word on a motive. Meanwhile, Biden facing backlash from some Democrats over an apparent flip-flop over refugee limits. Biden campaigning with a promise to lift the refugee cap from 15,000 imposed by President Trump to 125,000. Friday, the White House announces the cap will remain at 15,000. That leads to criticism from some Democrats like Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, who calls the decision unacceptable. Later on Friday, the White House says the cap will be lifted next month, and it will be somewhere between 15,000 and 62,500. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. So anyway, enough of that eugenic stuff, but I just found that fascinating. The very same day that I make this claim, ladies and gentlemen, the same day that I mentioned that, they released this. It's pretty interesting that I get a story like that, just boom. And I was referring to the historical reality of the eugenics movement, how evil it is, and how satanic, and how they have these goals. And then the same day, I get a story. Scientists have successfully created half-human, half-monkey embryos. National Public Radio. There you go. All right, now, moving on, because there's a lot of stories to get to. Twitter permanently bans journalist James O'Keefe, right? And James O'Keefe is the guy, if you don't know, who is one of the founders of Veritas, or Project Veritas, I think is how you say it. And he's literally been the undercover video guy. What he'll do is have his people go undercover as journalists and record the mainstream press and then expose their lies by releasing the secret recordings publicly. And man, the mainstream press hates this guy. But he continues to get the dirt on them over and over and over, and this time is no different. So Twitter now permanently bans journalist James O'Keefe. Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe announced on Sean Hannity's program on Thursday that he's now suing Twitter following the banning of his account. Interesting. So Twitter shuts down James, permanently bans his account. Now James is suing Twitter. O'Keefe's account was permanently suspended just days after Project Veritas began releasing videos, video footage that shows CNN technical director Charlie Chester admitting that the network uses propaganda. A lot of lawsuits coming from Project Veritas here. We won in the Supreme Court in the against the New York Times for defamation. Now we're going to go ahead and sue Twitter for suspending my account and falsely and maliciously claiming that I did something that I did not do, says O'Keefe. Now, Sean asked a bunch of questions, and O'Keefe sat there and answered them. O'Keefe and Project Veritas is currently involved in an ongoing lawsuit against the New York Times, Fox News reported. Twitter, in a statement provided to the Daily Caller about this, explained that O'Keefe's account was permanently suspended for violating the Twitter platform's rules on platform manipulation and spam. Project Veritas was banned from Twitter in February. We will not lose. We can't afford to lose. We've never lost a lawsuit before, O'Keefe stated, before adding that the complaint against Twitter will be filed on Monday. They say they did this after we released all these bombshell revelations or recordings regarding CNN calling themselves peddlers of propaganda, he continued. It's pretty extraordinary timing, O'Keefe said. But there are fundamental principles here that we have to fight for, says O'Keefe, and I'm confident we're going to create an army of people that are going to follow in our footsteps. Yeah, what if all of us started recording undercover videos and releasing them and just exposing the criminal activities everywhere? We have no other option, so we are suing Twitter on Monday, O'Keefe added. Wow. In my opinion, a great story. We'll keep an eye on that ball. You know, the sad tale about this is, you know, Twitter banned me wrongfully as well. I just don't have any money to sue them, folks. And I've brought it up on the radio and asked people maybe they could donate and we could put together a money bank or whatever you want to say to sue, but no one's come to my rescue there. So I'll just be hung out to dry and have to let my lawsuit go. I'm shut down on Twitter and don't have the ability to fight. James O'Keefe gonna fight. I pray he's successful. But I know James Edwards tried to fight, and he literally got kind of shut down too, right? Yeah, pretty much. He got shut down. Sad to say, it's a matter of money. It's a matter of finding attorneys that will take on the battle. It's a matter of finding attorneys that you can actually trust. Some say you can't trust any attorney, so you have to do it pro se or handle it on your own or get legally, what do you want to call them, paralegal kind of people behind the scenes to do all the research for you and attorneys to do all the research for you and then roll in by yourself. The problem is it just derails your whole life. I won't be able to do the talk show. I won't be able to spend time with my family. I won't be able to run the radio networks that I do. I won't be able to work my day job in IT. I won't be able to do because I'll just be too busy, you know, fighting the man, so to speak. Right? So, you know, hey, I'd love to sue Twitter because they've wronged me as much as they've wronged James O'Keefe. I mean, they literally said I don't have the right to report on research out of Israel. Right? So, you know, this is a serious problem. I pray for O'Keefe and crew. I pray for Project Veritas because I think they're doing a great work exposing a lot of criminal activity. And, you know, when we say the mainstream press is liberal and is evil and is peddling propaganda, and then they say, oh, you're crazy, you have no evidence whatsoever, you're wrong, we don't do that, not true, we're the who, what, when, where, why guys, and And then James O'Keefe gets one of their own people on record literally saying, yeah, we peddled propaganda. Yeah, we wanted to manipulate elections and prevent Donald Trump from winning the elections. Absolutely. And then you kind of go, well, I've been vindicated when I claim the mainstream press is evil and they have an agenda and it's to take down conservative views. And okay, all the he who owns the media makes the rules discussions that I've been bringing up for longer than anybody, even before Donald got into the discussion, right? It just vindicates me as absolutely 1,000% spot on correct now, doesn't it? Yes, it does, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so I mean, I understand and I appreciate James and crew for doing it. And here's what I find fascinating, though, and I don't understand this exactly. But James O'Keefe has done a lot of these undercover videos with Veritas, and I commend them. And they've had lawsuits, and they've actually won the lawsuits. And I don't really know how, but I'm grateful, right? Well, the reason that I bring this up is because in the pro-life battle, there were undercover people that did the same thing to Planned Parenthood. And they went undercover and recorded videos about Planned Parenthood and other organizations, including your government, ladies and gentlemen, literally buying and selling illegal baby body parts from taxpayer-funded abortions. And when these people went to court, instead of them being vindicated for their undercover videos exposing crime, what happened is the government, in bed with the courts, in bed with who knows who, literally vindicated Planned Parenthood and said, you guys are all good to go. You people that recorded the video, you're going to get your head handed to you in the courts. So it was completely opposite. The James O'Keefe cases, you know, they're gaining ground, but the baby body part ones not so well. Well, both of them are recording undercover videos and exposing the dishonesty. I'm trying to think of the words is why I'm hesitating. The dishonesty of the narrative surrounding either case, you know. Well, and then we find out not only is it Planned Parenthood and baby parts, but government. U.S. government buying and selling baby body parts. Well, it turns out to be true, right? Right? That's a problem, right? Well, so I don't really know where this case is going to go. I pray for Veritas, right? The FDA buys baby body parts. Planned Parenthood testimony on selling baby body parts. Planned Parenthood and the FDA caught buying and selling baby body parts. Yeah. Fetal tissue, stem cells, all these words come to mind. But I look at this and I go, so I don't really know how to handle this exactly. Because I pray for O'Keefe. But when I see how abused the people are who have tried to expose the baby body part scandal, man, I don't know. Our prayers are with the truth in both cases. But they've been so extreme. Veritas is just 1-1-1-1-1-1. The people exposing the baby body part scandal lost. Is that all by design? I don't know. But I find it very strange indeed because their tactics are, for the most part, the same. Liberty Roundtable Live continues on your favorite talk station.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how to respond to this, but headline says this. Even after we know about the baby body part scenario and everything else, now Biden's set to restore Planned Parenthood funding, folks. Yeah. So the headline says reporter grills White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki saying, hey, why does Biden insist that pro-life Americans pay for abortions? I think that's a really good, honest, open question, right? What do you think about all that? I don't know how to respond. Except for that's what your government's doing with your money, folks. I mean, think about it. Reporter grills White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki asks why Biden insists that pro-life Americans pay for abortions. It's a serious, serious point, isn't it? And we found out that the government, FDA, is involved in buying body parts from other organizations. Wow. Now, there's a problem with so many news stories. It's shocking, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll give you a couple examples of some headlines I'm seeing. Fauci admits that Biden administration is violating CDC COVID orders by packing so many illegals into small facilities. Wow. I mean, I look at that and I go, whoa, what the heck is with that, right? But there you have it. Now, there's so many news topics to discuss. But I think about that. Joe Biden's promoting Planned Parenthood and funding, increasing funding for their murderous intent. Pro-life taxpayers are being forced to what, pay? Yeah. All right, there's a black Republican congressman from Utah by the name of Burgess Owens. I don't know if you know who he is. But let me tell you what happened. I guess a Utah newspaper runs a cartoon comparing black Republican congressman to the KKK. This is hard to understand, folks. It's hard to even be serious about this. Right? Why would you run a cartoon about that? How insensitive and abusive can you be? Well, here's the problem. Burgess Owens is conservative. Right? I don't think you should run cartoons like that, even against a liberal black person. Now, I don't understand why this would even happen. I don't know how to respond to it at all, really. Right? It's a sad tale to tell. Anyway, Utah newspaper runs cartoon comparing black Republican Representative Burgess Owens to the KKK. It's insanity discussions here. I don't understand how he'd be compared to the KKK. All right, I want to talk about the rest of this hour. there is a headline that says this, a very interesting discussion in America that people probably don't know enough about and need to. The headline says this: Greater Idaho Plan would make it the third biggest state. State lawmakers hear detailed plan to annex large portions of Oregon into the state of Idaho. Mike McCarter has a group, and they want to expand Idaho's borders all the way to the Pacific. Okay, we've talked about this a little bit, but they're gaining notoriety and they're gaining information, and we got to report on this more because there's details that you haven't probably heard. Millions of Americans now living in Oregon, California, and Washington State could end up in their own private Idaho, on Greater Idaho, right? And your own private Idaho is a song, right? If a proposal submitted by lawmakers becomes a reality, Mike McCarter, he's a president of what's called Move Oregon's Borders for a Greater Idaho, told a joint committee of lawmakers that the plan would grow Idaho's population by about 50% and make it the third largest state in terms of area. KTVB reports. Wow. Supporters, well, I guess the plan, let's start there first. The plan calls for around 3/4 of Oregon becoming part of Idaho. So they want all of the rural parts of Oregon, basically. Supporters say residents of Southeast Washington and Northern California would also welcome the chance to become part of the Greater Idaho state proposed. McCarter's an Oregon resident, and he's pushing hard for this. He said that 4 rural Oregon counties have already approved the plan, and votes are coming up in 5 more counties. That would be 9 counties in total. There's a long-time cultural divide as big as the Grand Canyon, they say, between Northwest Oregon and rural Oregon. So Northwest is where Seattle and all that is, right? And rural Oregon, the people out in the country. And the rift between the two groups is getting larger and more hostile. For parts of Oregon to join Idaho, the plan would have to be approved by Congress, they claim, and the legislatures of both states, or in the case of the other states, all states involved, right? McCarter's group argues that the move would likely win approval since it won't affect the balance of power in the Senate to do this. Mark Simmons is a former speaker of the Oregon House of Representatives. He told Idaho lawmakers that a lot of details still need to be worked out on this thing. You think? Wow. Okay. No doubt about that. Including the minimum wage discussion. Because I don't know if you know, but the minimum wage discussion, it's $11.25 in Oregon and $7.25 in Idaho. Well, it's easy. If it's $7.25 in one state and $11.25 in the other state, you either go to one of the two or you meet in the middle, right? $9.25 it would be, right? I don't know all the answers, and I'm not necessarily for this plan. Let me explain what I mean by that. I understand the desire for the small rural groups, whether they be, let's use California as the quintessential example. You know, you've got Northern California and Southern California. And with rare exception, Southern California's got all the population. From San Francisco on down is, you know, I know people would say, well, San Francisco's in Northern California, Sam. I kind of understand and kind of disagree. But you got North Carolina and South Carolina, 2 states. You got California, that's one massive state. It's literally 40 million people in the state, right? 40 million people in the state of California is probably the biggest state by population by far. I don't think any other state even closely compares. So I get that the people in rural rural California, right, I get how they would want to kind of separate themselves and say, look, we're not getting representation. These big cities are just obliterating any clout or any influence we may have, and it's not fair. So I get their desire to split off. My fear is if we're not very careful, what we do, though, is we take all these rural, small areas that have rural views in mind, and we merge them together. So pretty soon, you know, Idaho's a big state. And over time, if a ton of people move to Idaho from California or whatever, right? I'm trying to think how to articulate this well enough. I get that they want to leave, but I also get that if they get too many people that leave and join and create other big states, then all we have is nothing more than getting rid of all the rural areas and they become part of a different state, a bigger entity. And then it's kind of like the clash of the titans between the big entities, right? The feud between the Northern California folks and the Southern California people. They say it's a feud that people just need to get over, right? Right? Understand, though, that the North Southern California is pretty much the Hispanic region. Okay, I mean, you got 10 of California's 58 counties in Los Angeles area, for instance. But there's big differences between Northern California and Southern California. Big. Where does Northern California end and Southern California start is another question. Is it, you know, driving times to lobby San Francisco? What is it? What is the North-South divide? Some say that the North-South divide is a way of critically dividing people over economic lines. You know, it seemed as the widening gap between developed and less developed economies. But, you know, I don't want to have a California civil war between Northern California and Southern California. But it's fair to kind of ask, how many people are in the North versus how many people are in the South? Whether that's an American discussion or a California discussion, the principle is the same. My fear, ladies and gentlemen, with this, is if we're not very careful, what we're going to do is we're going to create other bigger entities over time. So we temporarily solve the problem and we create these political divides. But over time, we just create bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, there'll be no rural group left that's not part of a, quote, greater cause. I'm not so sure that's the answer. Is there a better way to get the representation that we desire, right? I think the answer is a resounding yes, by the way. There is a better way. You ready for me to tell you what it is? Imagine turning to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for guidance, okay? So here's how I would do it. The Supreme Court has documented, and the Constitution has articulated for quite some time that, hey, the House of Representatives is where most of our representation really is. And there's supposed to be a certain amount of representatives to a related amount of population. And the problem is in recent decades and whatever, we haven't kept up with that. Right now, the amount of representation we have in a given state is very, very few. I mean, Utah has, what, four House reps for over 3 million people? That's not what the founders intended for representation, ladies and gentlemen. So I know that they want to just merge these different groups together and create these other entities and just have a greater Idaho and but you'll just create another big behemoth that'll eventually lose representation for the rural folks. I don't think it's the answer. I think the answer is to get appropriate representation per the population as the Constitution guidance provides. I think that's where we ought to spend our time and our efforts. Just my two cents. Hopefully that was educational. Hopefully you learned a couple of things, and hopefully you can stand for what's right with what you've learned, huh? Hour one of the can, my guest coming up, surprise guest, hour two. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally. Every penny will grow our presence in the media, we promise. And we thank you for listening. God save the Republic of the United States of America.